Guardian Unlimited.
Are you rolling? Headline: all school pupils to get a behaviour mentor. Byline: Polly Curtis, educational editor. The government will today promise every pupil a dedicated tutor to support them through their secondary schooling and act as a personal contact point for the parents who are worried about their children's progress. Pupils will be assigned one member of the school staff to act as behaviour mentor and to meet their parents to allow swift action should their grades begin to slide. A parent-run school councils and a national parent panel to advise ministers on policy will be established under plans that ministers said should redraw the boundaries between home and school for the 21st century. The Children's Secretary, Ed Balls, will put parents at the heart of a 10-year children's plan to improve children's education and happiness in response to research which suggests their prospects are hampered more by their home environment than by their schooling.
That's about as topical as poetry gets, I think. It's hard to know quite where to place John Hegley, whose voice and music you've just heard. Over a quarter of a century, he's established himself as one of Britain's most popular poets, standing out for a wry sense of humour sometimes described as quintessentially English, and his uniquely inventive rhyme schemes. But as well as having some 13 collections of verse under his belt, he's a very popular figure on the comedy circuit. He's a musician and someone is ready to entertain children as adults. We're lucky enough to have John Hegley here in the Guardian's podcast studio to give us a clearer idea. I wonder whether that your unusual profile has something to do with your quite unorthodox beginnings for a poet.
Well, yeah, I mean, I worked on the buses and in a social security office, but both working with people, which a lot of what I do is because I am a live performer, essentially, although the page is important. But bringing the page to the stage is the thing, really. But those jobs really helped. Bus conducting certainly helped.
Am I right in thinking you did start out as a musician in a band?
Oh, yeah, Popticians, yeah, still going. And I started out busking when my girlfriend at the time in 1977 was working on a market, flea market. I just had my guitar to play behind the stall and I said, I'm going to go out and see if I can earn some money. That was in Hull. Entertained a couple of... I remember two women who were working in the shoe shop, and I was just standing outside and was singing, and they really smiled, and it was quite a watershed moment, that just making people smile, really.
Can you remember what the subject was?
I think it was, I was just singing. I think I was, I remember one of the songs I was singing. I was sitting on a wall one day, my mind was miles away when a rainbow came and sat on the horizon. I thought it was there for good, but the rainbow knew it never could, and the colours or something. But anyway, maybe the grammatical, they were laughing at the poor grammar there.
The other thing that kind of marks you out, as well as the mix of music and cabaret, I don't know whether that's quite the right word, comedy, and verse, is quite an unusual selection of muses. Most prominently, I think, dogs.
Dogs. Actually, there's a little poem that they liked it in Spain, actually. Mi perrito no lleva gafas. My doggy don't wear glasses. That one they liked. So a dog's sort of quite universal. People have some dealings with dogs or avoidance even of them, but certainly knowledge of. And potatoes and spectacles. I mean, just basically the sort of basic things, but to some extent, I guess, sort of iconising them or making the ordinary extraordinary.
Is there sort of an example of those you might be able to give us?
Well, I mean, I wrote about my glasses and my position because people used to shout out things when I walked on stage in my specs. Hey, look, it's Buddy Holly. You know, it's not what you'd expect in a nativity play. But that, so I devised a poem to state my position. In the embrace of my glasses, I openly accept my vulnerability and affirm my acceptance of outside help, as well as providing open acknowledgement of the imperfection in my eyesight. My glasses are a symbolic celebration of the wider imperfection that is the human condition. In contrast, contact lenses are a hiding of the fault. They pretend the self-sufficiency of the individual and minister unto the cult of stultifying normality. They are that which should be cast out of your vision. They are a denial of the self. They are a denial of the other. They are a betrayal of humanity.
Powerful polemic. Listening to you there, that does remind me of one of the other things that marks you out. A delivery which is kind of sort of mock solemn, it sounds like.
I guess there's sort of, I do take it seriously, so you know, I don't know how mock it is.
No, it's, I always thought that that's, there's a degree of taking the mickey out of
the, taking the mockey,
yeah,
out of the taking the mockey out of the mickey, taking the mickey out of the mockey, taking all the mucky mocky mickey out of the mackie muckle,
probably all of those things. So you're not trying to sort of puncture the solemnity with which poetry is usually delivered?
No, not particularly. Just do it, you know, just reading them out.
You're most known, I suppose, for comedy, but you do take what you do pretty seriously, and you also don't just tackle comic subjects.
No, not ostensibly comic, but you sort of will try and find comedy in things that aren't necessarily comical at the beginning, but and also hopefully covering them with some sort of integrity.
And I understand you've been inspired by a feature that first appeared in The Guardian, which is sort of serious in that way about the relationship between two bus drivers.
Yeah, but I think they were sort of like in their 50s and the details I couldn't remember when I wrote the song, but I hope the feeling of it is in here somewhere. So it's from the point of view of one of the two drivers and his lover, who is John in this song, and I don't know if John's correct, and I don't think I've got the bus numbers right either. He was a driver on the 78, I was on the 103. Me, I had always looked pretty straight. He was more Freddie Mercury, and he was the man for me. And we were the talk of the depot down in Torquay. Down at the depot, smile and stop for a chat, but it was only a little while before we knew it would be much more than that. The place we were driving at, where we'd both wear the trousers and the driver's hats. On the edge of the morning, he's out in the kitchen cooking. The day is still yawning, and we've already let love get a look in. Let love get a look in. He gave me a silvery cigarette lighter, it was brighter than the others. It was a zipper. Hold on tight for heaven's light. When that sickness really began to bite, and he had to leave the depot, I kept him in touch with which inspectors said, what to such and such. I kept him in touch. He'd never hold another steering wheel, and I held him in my arms, and I told him I loved him very much. You've gotta let a little love get a looking. On the edge of his hospital bed, the linen's as white as any swan. I went out for a cigarette, I came back in and he was gone. Sometimes us chaps we had to keep our love under wraps, and now here's a little rhapsody for John, Bohemian John. The things that people used to say when they found out we were from Torbay.
Kind of sweet and touching rather than obviously funny. Mm. You're not particularly seeking to tickle the audience to death with that one. Mm. I did wonder about, you've reached very successfully beyond the traditional, really quite narrow audience for poetry. Is that something you were keen to do?
It sort of wasn't really particularly thought out, you know, like you say, with the delivery. It's not particularly thought through, although I guess there's something sort of going on. I just write stuff that sort of is relatively accessible, I think. And I think poetry is something that people respond to, so it's not a surprise. Poetry is something, you know, people love limericks, don't they? And when people want to express themselves in sort of, I don't know, an emotional situation, they will use poetry, so...
Elsewhere, it's kind of a niche audience. Do you feel connected to the other sort of main, well, I call it the mainstream of poets?
Well, there's lots of poems I really love that you might place in that category. W.S. Graham, Louis McNeice, Norman Nicholson, Norman McCaig. But as somebody said at the Ledbury Poetry Festival, there's not poetry, there's poetries. So perhaps mine is a different sort. But, you know, it's the same tree. It's the same wood.
And you've also in recent years been becoming known for entertaining children as much as adults.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to say, I started before I was performing these shows that are sort of the evening shows that are more for adults. I was working with the Children's Theatre Company. I did 1977 Interaction. I was doing shows on the beaches of Bournemouth to youngsters about Elizabethan life.
Right, so you're kind of, it's a return to your roots.
It's adult and children are in the audience, and I like to think that it is something that adults could come along to it on their own and they would feel quite comfortable, wouldn't feel as though they were at a kid's show. I mean, in a family show, you know, some families, like the two guys in that story, their family, I think, was just the two of them, really. So family is quite a broad thing.
And so material that suits everybody is going to be very much the focus of your Christmas show coming up at the Bastille Arts Centre.
And the tour afterwards. Yes, pluggy wuggy time.
I wonder whether we could sort of persuade you to give some excerpts from...
Yeah, I mean, some of the things will be in both. Some of them will be... Because the Christmas show at Battersea will be a lot of animal things, although I've got to say there is the vegetable patch in the middle. So there's that as well. So I wouldn't want people to come along thinking they're solely going to get animal material. I'm a guillemot. I use my skill a lot to get the fish out of the wet and eat my fill a lot. I'm a guillemot. I know the drill a lot. I drill into the drink and get the drink and not the ink upon my quill a lot. Don't give me sherbet, give me a turbot. My appetite for fish I cannot curb it. His line's more in the manner of George Herbert. It swimmeth unaware and rumbled. Down I tumbled to my prey to pluck it forth. My instinct I obey from water to the stifling air. I'll whip the little whippersnap away. I'm a guillemot. I use my bill a lot. I do my specky recce from my rocky window sill a lot. I don't eat trill a lot.
Excellent. That's we're begging for an encore now.
Well, a camel. This is sort of Christmassy. I'm the beast that bore wise man number 4. We're the ones who went north when the others went west. We followed not the Star of David, but the Star of Steve. My rider wasn't sure his gift was as good as the other three. I sometimes wonder if we got lost on purpose. Myself, I thought he brought the best of the gifts, actually, the gift of straw, the gift of warmth, warmth for the manger. But he wasn't sure that his gift was good enough, and he kept on adding to it straw after straw. You know the story. So we take the wrong track. He breaks my back, but luckily we found this town with a really good vet and, in the end, had a pleasant, if rather quiet, Christmas.
Excellent. Well, you'll have to fight for tickets to the performances in the Battersea Arts Centre, but there is a forthcoming tour where it might be a little easier to get tickets. John Hegley, thanks ever so much.
Thank you very much.
Guardian Unlimited.